It's Super Tuesday, one of the most consequential days of the 2020 election cycle. Here are two Democrats at the polls in Virginia.
My name is Shamima Nuristani, and I live in Dumfries, Virginia. I needed to cast my ballot, my right as a citizen, to bring change. I love this country. I want it to be different or go back to how we were. Being a woman, being a Muslim woman, my community suffers a lot.
I've got three children who are young adults to teenagers, and over the past 4 years, they've been growing up in a world that is so fundamentally changed. My biggest issue is healthcare. For me, particularly living in an area like this where we tend to see a lot of health disparities, but I also see the impact of things like gun violence.
That second voice was Marjorie Brennan in McLean, Virginia. About a third of the delegates needed to clinch the nomination will be awarded across the country today. But with Senator Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg now out of the race, what happens to the 33 delegates they've already won? Political scientist Josh Putnam has some of the answers. He's founder of the political website Frontloading HQ. Josh, welcome back.
Good to be here, Peter.
And before we talk about what happens to the delegates this summer at the national convention, let's bring up the possibility that they're actually going to get a few more today. Klobuchar and Buttigieg are both on Super Tuesday ballots, even though they've suspended their campaigns. Is this something that you're watching for?
I mean, it's something to keep an eye on, I would say, particularly in Klobuchar's home state of Minnesota. But I think the chances of them cresting above that 15% threshold to even qualify for delegates, both statewide and at the congressional district level across many of these states today, is going to be a little far-fetched.
Okay. So we'll see. And as of right now, there's these 33 delegates that they have won. Do they simply become free agents and vote for whomever they want to at the national convention?
It's a kind of complicated thing, right? I think the thing that we should mention here is that what we'll hear so much about in terms of delegates tonight as the returns are coming in are going to be slots that are allocated to candidates, right? They won't be filled with actual human beings until later in the process. You know, once you've identified those delegates, they then become kind of free agents.
33 is not a lot. I mean, especially if you need close to 2,000 to clinch the nomination. What kind of difference could they play, if any?
Well, I mean, again, 33 is just not a whole lot. I think the bigger thing to watch as we get into the day on Super Tuesday is how many Bloomberg and Warren are picking off, how much they add to that 33. I mean, if that goes above, say, 400 or 500 delegates, even including the 33 from Klobuchar and Buttigieg, then we get into a situation where that might matter in a convention setting if one of the other two, Biden or Sanders, doesn't get above the 1,991 delegates needed to clinch.
Okay, play that out. What would happen in a brokered convention where all those delegates matter?
Well, if the candidates and the delegate candidates who are pledged to them kind of go through that selection process and actually go to the convention, then they become free agents that are able to be wooed as candidates are kind of wooing superdelegates now. Unlike superdelegates, however, these pledged delegates or formerly pledged delegates would be free to vote for whomever they wanted on the first ballot at the convention.
How important are these endorsements that we've seen from Klobuchar and Buttigieg over the last couple of days? They've come out in support of Joe Biden. Are the delegates bound to that, or what?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely not. Right. I mean, we should draw a distinction between how the Democratic Party and the Republican Party look at their delegates. Republican delegates are bound; they're kind of locked into their position. Democratic delegates, on the other hand, are pledged, and technically they can vote for whomever they want to, regardless of those pledges. My rule of thumb on endorsements is, well, you know, the single endorsement doesn't matter a whole lot. It's kind of the aggregate of the endorsement.
What kind of delegate strategy do you think Elizabeth Warren is considering right now? Because she's still in the race and she doesn't have that many delegates at all.
Right. And again, I don't foresee her adding too terribly many to that. Maybe 100, maybe a couple hundred over the course of the primary season. My outlook on this right now for her is the pathway to winning an outright majority of pledged delegates is out of the question for her at this point. That really what she's playing for is that contested convention. Hey, if she can take 200 delegates in there, she may not become the nominee, but she could potentially play kingmaker.
How so? Would she say, okay, my delegates, I want you to go to this person so I can help dub a king?
Right. This is why I steer away from the term brokered convention. We don't have the brokers that we used to, right, when state party chairmen and women were able to kind of marshal the delegates and their delegation toward a candidate or not. Again, with candidates having the ability to review the delegates that they do select to represent them, it means that you've got some factions within delegations that makes it harder to move around. They may take into account who she would endorse, but they don't have to follow that.
You could be forgiven for thinking that this is a really, really confusing process. What do you think of the system? Because as you said, the Republicans have a much easier way of doing this. Most of the delegates are bound to vote for the winner of the primary or caucus. Should something be changed?
I think that's one way of viewing it, right? Another is to look back at past cycles, and they haven't been quite as competitive. And you get a clear presumptive nominee by the end of the process, and everybody goes to the convention more or less happy. 2016 could certainly be viewed as an exception to that on the Democratic side.
Tomorrow could be a completely different conversation. We'll see what happens after today's vote. Political scientist Josh Putnam is the founder of the political website Frontloading HQ. Josh, thank you.
Thank you, Peter.